Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hello and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Gallegos, here with
Jeff Rappaport.
Today, guys, we're going to be continuing in our series of pop quiz on deal structuring. If you haven't checked out our last episodes, go back and listen to the last couple episodes. We've gone over a ton of information already about deal structuring, you know, determining your buyer, kind of how to create an offer. We talked a lot about selling to owner occupants. And then our last episode was kind of selling to a landlord and, you know, what the deal kind of needs to look like for a landlord to pick it up. We talked a lot about, you know, cash on cash return and how they're looking for kind of a minimum of, you know, 12% on their money. And that's kind of where a deal starts for them. So in this episode, we're going to go over an example of how to structure a deal for a landlord. So, you know, if you found something that had some cash flow, you could structure it in a way to, you know, wholesale it to a landlord. So let's dive in.
So we structured this to be like a quiz for you, right, Jonathan, to try to kind of figure out where you're at, where our listeners are at too, and whether you're caught up and you understand everything. I think it's a great review. Yeah. And if it's not and you're stuck, maybe it's going to help you get past that sticking point.
Okay.
All right. So let's take an example. This is a deal that we just put under contract. And I want you to see how, one, quickly I can analyze it and come up with some offers that would make sense, because it's really not that difficult if you have the right information.
Okay. All right,
so let me give you some of the specifics up front. And it doesn't matter that this is a multiple house deal. It could be a single family. It could be a duplex or small multi. It could be apartments. It could be, in reality, it could be storage units, mobile home park, anything with income, right? So what one of the things, let's talk about the details of this deal first. So it's seven houses, okay, and they're asking $395,000 for all seven.
$395,000.
Yep, they owe zero on it.
Okay.
All the houses are rented.
Okay.
They bring in $5,100 a month.
$5,100 slash month. Okay.
And they've done a bunch of work. So I think what they said, you know, they went through details, you know, there's some new roofs, there's new paint, there's new flooring. A lot of the major stuff's been done. Five out of the seven have had some kind of major remodeling done. And the other two are that they said we'd consider the condition to be 6 out of 10, but in rent condition.
Okay.
All the rents are on the low side. And when I say the low side, I think you can raise these rents somewhere between $750 to $1,000 a month.
Per house?
Altogether. So, okay. So somewhere between $100 to $200 a month on each one.
Okay.
Let's see. Is there anything else that I think you need? So I also have the, you know, all the utilities are paid by tenants. And I mean, all. I mean, that was made very clear. All. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And then we got the expenses. So we have, and these are all monthly expenses. So they had taxes, $658 a month.
$658, you said?
Yep. Insurance, $395. Okay, so my guess is they manage these properties themselves, so they don't have any management fee. They were very upfront. They said that they commingle a bunch of different stuff, so they don't really know how much money, you know, that they're spending on any kind of maintenance and repairs. So what they did is they allocated 8% for management and 7% for maintenance and repairs.
Okay, 8%.
So in reality, what that would be is $400 a month for management. And what I did is I decided I was going to create one more line that would be a capital expense line. And I would take 10% of the gross rents and I'd split it between maintenance and repairs and capital expense. So $250 each.
Okay.
So maintenance and repairs could be slightly higher, but.
So instead of taking their 7%, which is you're allocating 10%, which is $500.
Yeah. One is more of a savings account so that, hey, when you have a roof or a furnace or HVAC or whatever it is that you've got to go do, that you have money set aside for those bigger ticket items.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So if you total all of those up, that is $1,953 per month.
$1,953. Okay.
And if you times that by 12, that will be your yearly expense, okay, which will be
$23,436.
Yeah. Okay. So we're halfway there. Once we already know all the expenses, and you know, sometimes you don't get all of them. Like we didn't get all of them. Sometimes they're managing their own property. So yeah, we're going to add in the expenses that are, you know, necessary, right? So whether we buy them or we sell them to someone, that we expect that someone's going to hire management, not manage these all by themselves. You know, they'd want a capital expense, and you know, so we're going to evaluate it based on our numbers, not necessarily all of their numbers.
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right, so now we got one more thing to do. They collected $5,120 a month in rents.
Okay,
and
12,61,440 for the year.
Say that again.
Oh, I just times that by 12.
And what did you get?
61,440.
Oh, so my numbers were slightly off. I don't know why, but
okay. Let's try that one more time. Just to make sure you said 51.
I know why. It's because I forgot the $20 in there.
Oh, you said 5,120. Yeah.
Yeah. That, times when 12. I did, I think I did 5,100. So I came up with 61,200. You came up with 61,400.
Yeah.
440. Yeah, yours is right, but let's go with mine because mine are all written down, or you can rework them as you're doing this.
Okay.
So let's take our income, which is 61,440 minus our 23,436. And you're going to come up with somewhere around 37,000, just under 38,000. Is that right?
I got $38,004.
Okay. So let's call it 38,000. Okay. Divide that by 12.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. 38,4. Okay. Divide 12, 3167.
Okay. So we were $20 off, you know, which is about right. Okay. So, so 3167 is the net cash flow that we have to work with to, one, offer the seller a payment, right? And two, to offer cash flow to either us or a buyer, right? That's where this is as is. This is not, you know, with your increased rents and whatever. The increased rents, we want to buy it right. So we're going to work on as is numbers, and they're all full. You know, it's not my fault that they're not at market rate rents. That will be, you know, maybe you will need to go put in a few thousand dollars to these other two units to be able to get them up. So I'm not going to worry about that. Well, I'm going to worry about what is as is. Okay.
Okay.
So now I'm just going to play with some numbers. So they're asking 340, what was it?
395,
right? So let's say, you know, and they said that they may be a little flexible on the price. And in my notes, they actually said maybe around that 370 mark that they would be open to. Okay. So the way I look at this is that, hey, what if I just offered them as owner financing, basically what they're asking for, or real close to it, or maybe even slightly more, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm not as concerned about the price as I am the down payment and the rest of the terms.
Right.
So right now I'm just trying to get a ballpark figure. If you were to finance, let's say, you know, I'm probably going to offer them around 10% down payment, maybe a little less, maybe a little more. So, you know, let's just take a ballpark. Let's take 350 if we were going to finance 350, and let's look at 4% over 30 years.
350 present value, 4% interest. 360 months, payment would be $1,670.95.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 350 present value, 4% interest, the term 360. Yeah, payment, I got $1,670.95.
I did this really late last night, so maybe...
Right, I'm glad I'm here to correct your math.
We're off. So yes, okay, so you are right. 1670, okay?
Yep.
So that will put us in the ballpark, right, of what I think would be a fair number to offer the seller, and it might be 1500, it might be 1750. I don't know yet, because now what I want to do is figure out what does that leave us for us or for our buyer? So I'm already thinking, if I'm offering this for 10-ish percent, you know, but let's say $35,000 down payment, hey, you know, on a $400,000, you know, I want to make $20,000 or so. And so that would be like $55,000 down, right? Out of pocket. Okay. So I got to take into account what I'm offering the seller and then what I would like to make as well. So let's just take a nice round number, right? Let's take $1,750.
Okay.
That's the payment that we're going to offer to our seller. And then what was the monthly cash flow we had left over? 1,417 dollars.
Yep.
Times 12. That would be 17,000.
Yep.
Divided by 55,000, the amount of money that we're talking about out of pocket. That's 31% cash on cash return.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So what we probably could do is even raise our down payment a bit
to the
seller and try to make it a little more enticing. And we could probably offer either a higher price or a higher interest rate, right? So maybe 4.5%, or even start looking at, hey, maybe we don't amortize this over 30 years. We amortize it over 25 years, okay. Something like that. Okay. Yeah. So this is what I mean by, this is how you figure out how to play with the numbers. Do you see already where we have a range? Could I, if I wanted to offer them, let's say that they had told me up front, like, we don't need that much money up front. Now, we're more about the cash flow. Okay. Well, on this, what if I offered them 15 grand up front and I still wanted to make that 20? So that would be 35, right? Out of pocket. Uh-huh. And what we're not talking about really, there's not much maintenance and repairs that we can think of right now, right? They're all rented. And if you put in any money, you're going to get more money back. Actually, based on the pro forma, you could probably raise the rents of at least 5 of these as is right now. And, without putting any money in the other two and just leave those rents if that's what you wanted to do. But let's say that we came in less, and so we still want to make our 20 grand, but now we're paying them $2,000 a month. Okay. We've got about an $1,160 cash flow, right, to our buyer?
Yep.
Times 12.
Yep. Divide that by.
Divided by 35,000. That's a 40% cash on cash return. But what if we wanted to offer them more down payment? Couldn't we? Yeah. And just bring down the monthly payment a little bit. We have, what I'm saying here is we have enough spread in this that we already know how we can start creating some things. So I could come up with, hey, here's one offer. You're getting a better cash flow, but less money down. Here's another offer where you're going to get more money up front, but your cash flow is going to be a little less. I could do them short term. I could do them more long term. I could do one short term. I could do one more long term. I can create some variety here, right? And you don't want to give too many offers, right? I mean, this is free and clear. I could come up with like 20 offers for these people. That's not the goal. So my guess is that, they want as much of their money now as they can get. So I'm going to try to figure out a way to give them a hefty down payment. And when I say hefty, minimum 10% in this case, because remember, we're wholesaling to a landlord that they may be willing to pay up to, 20% down, where it still makes sense for them.
Yep.
So this isn't an owner occupant where we're only looking to get a cap of 10%. Does that make sense?
Yep.
So that's the art of working backwards. Take all your expenses, figure out what they would be, whether you actually have them or not. Okay. Add in the ones that you don't have, make your best guess and be conservative. Yeah. And work those back. Now, what if there was a debt on this?
Then we would we could structure it around the debt. I mean,
so let's say there was $1,000 a month payment on this to begin with.
Okay,
so we already know, hey, the monthly cash flow that the pool of money that we have to work with is $3,167, right? Mm-hmm. That's minus all the expenses, that's with the current revenue. Well, we're just going to take that debt service and we're going to minus it from that cash flow. Now we have $2,167 to work with. So now a portion will go to the seller and a portion will go to the buyer. And we have to work around that. Yeah. So now the seller may only be getting a $500-$600 a month cash flow. And the buyer might get, $800-$1,000 a month cash flow. But as long as that cash on cash return is 18, 20%, 25%, most likely it's going to be a fairly easy sale.
Yeah.
And, or it's something, I mean, if you can structure it where you can get in pretty light and you can get that 35, 40% cash on cash returns, probably a pretty good deal for you.
Yeah.
Now we haven't even taken into account the upside.
Right.
And the upside is that, well, first of all, let's think of something here. So when we figured out the revenue, 61,440, I think it was, minus the expenses, 23,436, that number is called NOI.
Yep.
Net operating income, right? And it was like, I think it was 38,000.
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah, you
understand cap rates?
Yeah.
You know what a cap rate is?
Yes.
Why don't you explain it?
A cap rate is the rate of return in which you would make on your money if you were to purchase a property with all cash. So if it's a 10% cap rate and you bought a house for $100,000, you could expect 10% a year if you were all in cash on that property. And so the difference between cap rate and cash on cash return is rather than taking the purchase price of the property as the rate, as what you would use for the rate, you take the cash out of pocket that you put down on the deal. That's and right. Figure out what the return is on just that cash that you have in. So not the purchase price in total, which could include borrowed debt.
Right. Exactly. Good explanation. So if you think about this, if we can buy this property for 380, right? Because our NOI is 38,000 and we're going to times it by 10, that would give us a 10% cap rate, right?
Yep.
Right. Because the NOI would be 38,000. So right away, I know, hey, we're in the range of buying this at a 10 cap. And if there's room to improve, right, and significantly improve, that now we could potentially either sell it at 11.5% to 12.5% cap rate with the pro forma, you know, once the rents are raised to market rate rents and this property is running, you know, as efficiently as possible. Typically those are really good deals, right? As long as they're not in a war zone or cap rates tend to go up because, you know, prices come down, not as many people want them. So keep that in mind that, hey, what we're able to do here is we can move numbers around somewhat. And now we can create, even though maybe this wasn't a 10% cap rate, maybe it's a 6, which shouldn't excite any of us wholesalers, right? Or maybe you as a buy and hold investor, I mean, you can do better than a 6% cap rate. But let's say it was a 6%, but if we're structuring the numbers correctly, maybe it'll still make sense, not only for us, but for our wholesale buyers, because it's not necessarily, you know, if we have great debt on it, we might have a 40% cash on cash return. That's what's going to become more important to you as an investor.
Yeah.
So the whole art of working backwards, and you can see how quickly you can do it.
Yep.
You got to understand a few equations, a couple of ways to manipulate some numbers. And then it's just kind of a trial and error thing to make the numbers fit in the way that you want them to fit.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, I was thinking along the lines of like doing, so kind of a first offer is what we talked about, the 390 purchase price, 40K down, 1750 a month for 4% interest for like 5 years. Another one could be, you could offer more money. You could do 400K, but offer less down. So you can, you know, you can really—
For a longer term.
Yeah. You can put kind of a sizzle on it and say, hey, we'll give you 400K. You're asking 490. We'll give you 400. 395.
Yeah.
Yeah. 395 will give you 425K down.
Now, you could go offer them 410, 415 if you wanted.
Yeah.
With a smaller down, a little higher payment, but for a longer term.
Yes.
And remember, some of the things that we're trying to accomplish here is that, hey, if we're getting in with a lower down payment, you know, so we're passing this on to someone that coming in with, let's say, 15% down. That yeah. at the time of their balloon, I don't care if it's 3 years from now, 5 years, 10 years, but whatever it is, I want them to have enough equity where they can just refinance. They don't need to bring any more cash to the table. Okay. So right. that is the goal. And I don't really want to count on any appreciation occurring. It probably will. That will certainly help, but I don't want to count on that. I want to count on like, hey, if these values would stay stable, that, hey, in the 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, whatever the term is, that you will be at, you know, 80% loan to value, 75% loan to value, somewhere in that range, so that, hey, you don't have to bring any more money. The refinance becomes easy.
Right. Okay, well, let's wrap this up here, Jeff, because we kind of covered a lot. But guys, if you're trying to follow along, what we just did is, you know, it doesn't matter if this is for seven houses like we used in this example, or if it's for a single house, but the steps are the same. We have to determine what the net operating income is to, you know, determine what kind of cash flow we have to work with. So we take all the expenses, we add that up, we take the rents, we minus it from the rents. And that's our monthly cash flow if we do it by month. And then from there, we know what we have to work with, and we got to give a piece of that to the seller, and we got to give a piece of that to our landlord buyer or yourself if you're going to hold it. And then we can structure offers based on that. So we just play with numbers by saying, okay, what if the purchase price was 390? Let's only offer 10% down, 40K. And what would that monthly payment look like? Okay. So then you can, you know, get an idea of how much you can give to the seller, and then how much you can also offer your buyer, your landlord buyer. And then you can add a little bit to the purchase price. You can take a little away, add a little more to the down payment, take a little away to make those, to kind of structure those offers in a way so there's a difference to the seller. And you're still offering a great return to your buyer.
Yeah, there's no reason for me to offer the seller, you know, basically the same price. Here's one price of 395. Here's one price of 400.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically the same interest rate, except, hey, the down payments are basically the same. I'm going to offer you 35,000. I'm going to offer you 40,000.
Yeah.
But one I want you to do for 5 years, one I want you to do for 10. There's right. just not enough difference there. I'm not saying that will never work, because sometimes sellers are more interested in, hey, what will I end up netting? You know, hey, I'll net more if I stay in this longer. And if that's the case, then, you know, it's probably not 10 years you want to go. It's probably 30 years. And yeah. But that's what you need to do, is if you're going to make multiple offers here, then you got to try to find what their sweet spot is. What is it that they want most? Is it the cash flow? Is it the down payment? Is it a shorter or longer term? Those are the variables that you want to kind of play with and see which one maybe gets their attention.
Right. All right. Let's talk about seller subordination in the next episode, because you could definitely structure seller subordination on this.
Yep, we will do that.
So
that will wrap up our quiz.
Cool. Okay, guys. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope that you're able to follow along. And again, we always say that grab a calculator, learn how to use a financial calculator if you haven't. You know, watch some YouTube videos if you're new to all this on how to use a financial calculator. Once you know how to do that, and then it actually becomes really easy to follow along with our podcast, because we just go through the numbers one by one, step by step. And so The best practice you can get is by following along. And with that said, guys, we're going to be rolling out the Creative Financing Academy, where we show you in video format how to do this step by step. And so that you can watch the video, follow along with us in real time as you're watching, and really get that practice down, because that's what it's all about, just getting that practice in. So stay tuned for that. And if you're interested, please leave us a message on our hotline, 877-409-8090. You can also, to get special access to a video, if you haven't got it already, that will kind of give you a taste of what it's all about. Text CFP or Creative Financing to that 877-409-8090. And that's kind of a no-brainer. If you haven't got that yet, definitely go get that. Because, you know, it's just extra training, right? It's a bonus. So check that out. All of our episodes are at the creativefinancingpodcast.com. We are on Facebook at that same name, the Creative Financing Podcast. Hit us up there, go like and subscribe to our podcast if you haven't already, wherever you get it, because it really helps us get the word out. If you guys are interested in Jeff's apprenticeship program, where he works with you guys, you know, really not geared specifically towards creative financing, but more kind of, you know, wholesaling and that thing, please email Rebecca@weofferoptions.com. That's Rebecca at weofferoptions.com. Any last words, Jeff?
A couple things. I mean, if you go to our website, thecreativefinancingpodcast.com, you can access all of our podcasts from episode one. And we have a couple of different, I know in the first six or seven, we have a calculator podcast where we go over how to use a financial calculator and, you know, the five buttons that you need to understand.
Yep.
You know, the apprentice program is not focused on creative financing. It is focused on wholesaling with creative financing as a niche. Yep. What you're going to be doing is exactly what I do. And that is that I look at every deal individually. I'm primarily a wholesaler, but, you know, Jonathan, we were just talking, I just bought a house yesterday that I will wholetail. We talked about several others that I was going to buy and either sell on terms or lease option. You know, that's what the apprentice program is it's primarily wholesaling, but it's always looking at every deal individually.
Right. And you can definitely learn.
And if you need help structuring deals, don't leave it on our hotline. That's not what to do anymore. Go join our Facebook group. If you have questions there, ask them. And if you have ideas for shows or questions that you want answered on our show, leave them there.
Yep. Hit us up. Okay, guys, till next time, go out there and create some terms.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.